Chris Kalender is a retired US Army colonel and author of Zero Sum Victory, What We're Getting Wrong About War. He's the first American to have fought the Taliban as a commander in combat and negotiated with them in peace talks. He now advises leaders on how to use military lessons to strengthen their businesses. Welcome. How are you?
Very well. Thank you for having me on your program.
Before we get into this particular business that we're discussing this hour, I wonder what your take is on what we know about what's happening in Kabul today and the withdrawal, the beginning of the withdrawal of American forces, the effort to get all of these people out, the international coalition trying to get out before August the 31st. What's your reading of all of that?
Well, it continues to be a horrible situation for the Afghans involved, where you've got thousands of them thronging the airport, trying to have an opportunity to get out, some of whom have papers for their special immigrant visa applications or refugee status, some of whom who don't. I found five of my interpreters have been able to make their way through the Taliban checkpoints unmolested. It's a more difficult time for them getting into the airport just because of the mass of people there. One of them all five of them have gotten into the airport. One of them is now in Germany with his family, thank goodness. But it's a heartbreaking situation, and I think the United States and others who've helped bring about this situation have an obligation to figure out ways to ameliorate the crisis and safeguard our interests over the longer term.
And thinking of all the complaints there have been from friends here in the UK and elsewhere, friendly countries, allies of the US, looking at this action, its timing, the method of its announcement and all of that, and saying to America, this isn't on. What's your reading of that?
I've been the person in the arena, so to speak, as former U.S. President Teddy Roosevelt would say. So I'm always hesitant to sort of Monday morning quarterback people who are currently in the arena now while I'm here. I think the United States would have benefited from what I call a pre-mortem. So looking at the possible consequences of a situation and both how it could go horribly wrong as well as ways that you might get what you call catastrophic success. And that kind of pre-mortem analysis should have uncovered that you would get Afghans by the tens of thousands flocking to the airport if we, once we shut down our embassies. And that's exactly what happened. The situation in Afghanistan is a bit like the financial crisis of 2008, where a lot of things had to come together to create the situation that we now find ourselves in. It doesn't mean that was unforeseeable or that we couldn't have been better prepared for the situation.
I've no idea what pre-mortem planning President Biden did, and we can't really speculate, but I do wonder whether whether he considered all of those options or not, whether his ultimate consideration is, I want to get the troops home, I want to get this over with. And he's articulated this to some extent, hasn't he, about ending forever wars, that perhaps his calculation is he knows bad things might happen, but if the ultimate goal is getting American forces home and stopping this conflict, then anything else is a price worth paying.
Well, he's certainly emphasized ending this war, and he's done so for a very long time, and of course you can achieve that objective while limiting the downside risks, and that's exactly what a pre-mortem is supposed to do. I think longer term, the United States, to restore some strategic credibility, needs to examine why we keep making these own goals and unforced errors that are turning these interventions, Vietnam, Iraq, Afghanistan, into quagmires. And we'll make it through this current crisis, but it's the longer term strategic learning that I think is most important.
Finally, So much attention now is focused on the Taliban and what it might do. And speak to most people. Many politicians have articulated that whatever they say, they can't be trusted. You know better than most from personal experience what the Taliban are like. What do you say to all of that?
That first of all, I understand the emotions involved in this. Six of my soldiers were killed in action in Afghanistan. And I know exactly what it feels like to sit across the table from people who, maybe an hour before, a day before, a week before, were trying to kill you, and you were trying to do the same thing to them. And what I found in those situations is that creating some space between the emotion and the action is vitally important. There's a lot of emotion right now, disappointment, outrage, frustration, and those are important to acknowledge and to label. And it's also important to create some space between that and action, what we're going to do next. It may feel good to stamp around, to shake our fists and to wag our fingers in outrage about how Afghans have voted with their feet to accept the Taliban and to reject the their government. The question is, what's in our interests? And when we look at our objectives in terms of evacuations, in terms of creating a pathway for our embassies to open back up so we can work with Afghans on human rights, humanitarian assistance, and counterterrorism, all of those are more likely when we stay engaged in Afghanistan diplomatically than if we turn our backs on the country. I've found in my personal discussions with the Taliban, and I can't speak for ones I wasn't involved in, but in my personal discussions with them, I found that they were generally more consistent in upholding their end of the commitments, oftentimes than we were.
Thank you. Chris Galenda, retired U.S. Army colonel, author of Zero Sum Victory, What We're Getting Wrong About War. And worth repeating in the context of what he just said at the end there. He was the first American to have fought the Taliban as a commander in combat and negotiated with them in peace talks.